The Drama Merchant, written by Tim Rees, read by Tim Rees. Chapter 1. Okay, guys, I hear the sergeant bark. Time to shift your butts. We exit the helicopter at the drop zone and form a defensive circle as the chopper hovers back into the night sky in a whirlwind of noise. This is it. This is happening. 21 years old and part of a top secret mission. The thought strikes and my cheeks spread in a wide grin, and it's a grin twitching on nervousness, a nervousness that caused the corners of my eyes to clench and my heartbeat to pound loudly in my ears. I exhale noisily and widen my eyes to stretch out my face. This is why I trained so hard to be a part of this elite unit. This is why I want to be the very best soldier I can possibly be. This is the real thing. But this is so intense. I breathe in through the nose and exhale slowly through the mouth to steady myself. The pungent aromas of the desert air spice the intensity. Bayonne in northwest Africa had been scorching hot that day. We'd rehearsed the hostage rescue many times in daylight, and breathing in the air baked by the midday sun had roasted my lungs. Now it is night, and the blast furnace heat has long since submitted to the chilled glow of moonlight. And I look up to the moon and feel grateful for a glimpse of the familiar face. And the moon is big tonight, and my thoughts immediately turn to Gemma. She could be looking at the same moon all those many miles away in Wales, but she is likely to be snuggled up in bed. Which leaves me wondering what she wears in bed, if anything, and I silently laugh at myself as I can't imagine Gemma ever slept naked. The moment the thought surfaces, I find I can too easily imagine precisely that. I must have been smiling inanely because Dan the man Coulson, who's the nearest guy to me, whispers, "What's tweaking your pecker, James?" I switch the smile off and force myself to focus. Adrenaline is in full flood through my veins and my thoughts had cartwheeled to a naked image of Gemma. Crazy. I breathe in deeply. Focus. This is it, I mentally repeat. This is for real. This is life and death stuff. I compress my lips and smother another smile. I'm surprised I feel such a strong buzz of excitement. I've been afraid of being fearful, but the excitement drowns out any fear. I also know Gemma won't approve of this mission, but then again, she wouldn't approve of the use of force, full stop. Turn the other cheek, she'd say. I half away my indignation as a pacifist view. It is not a problem because Gemma will never know. I force myself to breathe deeply again, in through the nose and out through the mouth slowly. I'm ready. I've been well trained for this. I cradle my rifle and stroke a reassuring hand over the cold surface. I look along the line of camouflage cream faces as the rest of the squad position themselves to the right of me. And then we move forward as silently as wisps of smoke through the scattering of small low acacia trees. And then stop again. When we reach the edge of an area where the scrub of trees and thorn bush is denser. We listen and scan the moonlit shadows. Lieutenant Quentin Sarneson, whom we all call Tintin, issues a hand signal that is as clear as a shouted order, and we advance again as one. We all smell the camel shit cigarette smoke, and out of the corner of my eye, I see Tintin give the clenched fist signal, which means freeze, as when we kneel, our eyes and ears pricked, each for scanning for the smoking sentry's position. It's easy to spot the glowing ember of a cigarette as a sentry inhales. He stood beside a tree and clearly not taking his guard duty seriously. A hand signal from Tintin sends Sergeant Rob Reynolds forward. I lose sight of him as he disappears around some foliage. The next I see of the sergeant is when his hand takes the Islamic terrorist's head back, the palm covering the mouth, as the other hand holding a knife with a 6-inch blade, one side serrated, arcs high as he drives the knife deep into the heart. I watch him twist the blade, as we've been taught, and the dying man's legs thrash at the ground. Ahmed, a voice whispers directly ahead of me. Another sentry, obviously alarmed by the sound of his colleague's feet hitting the ground. This time the lieutenant's hand is directed at me for no other reason than I'm the nearest to the sentry. I swallow hard. My mouth is suddenly very dry and my heart begins beating like a bass speaker on full volume has been forced between my ears. I lie my rifle down and pull my knife from its scabbard and goes wide to my left. This is just another training exercise. I mentally insist in an attempt to calm my rising panic. One mistake, and not only are you dead, but you have compromised your colleagues, possibly fatally, the training sergeant had yelled into my ear on too many occasions. But that had been training. This is for real. I stop and try to visualise the guard peering intently into the dark where his slain friend had been. Where is he? I imagine him asking. But there is no time to think. I have to be quick. I'm wasting time locating the sentry. We can't risk him warning his colleagues about our approach. My thoughts tumble into each other. It feels like my heart has moved up the gears and is now pumping and bursting inside my head. Fear spikes through the excitement and I have to swallow it down and drown it again. This sentry has taken his duties much more seriously than the smoker. I only manage to locate his position by a mere scrape of a foot on sandy ground as he moves from kneeling to standing, trying to have a better view of where his colleague is. I mirror the sergeant's actions, approaching from behind. I feel sure he must hear me because my heart seems to be beating loudly enough to wake his dead friend. I need to be quick, not a moment's hesitation. The rest of the team are relying upon me. The rancid stench of stale sweat stings my nostrils as I grab his face, covering his mouth. I plunge the knife into his chest and give it a hard half-turn twist. It's the first time I've done it for real and have to use more force than I'd imagined. I feel the ribs spread and crack as the dying man claws at my hand, clamped over his mouth, then his legs thrash wildly. I realise the blade hasn't hit the heart because the man continues to struggle and I curse under my breath. Fear spikes again. I make a hash of this. Adrenaline is making my head swim and I feel myself move robotically. This is what all those months of intense training had been about. And now the training is paying off big time. I use a knee in his back to force him to the ground. I have to let go of the knife, leaving the blade embedded, and use the knife hand to grip the back of the man's head. I jerk the head sharply as if spinning a ball and break his neck. It is then his body goes limp and I know I've succeeded, although not as cleanly as my NCO. I'll probably hear more about this at the debrief. I'd spun his head so hard that the rags he had worn to cover his greasy hair were now impaled on my fingers and I have to disentangle myself from the dirty cloth. They hadn't taught us this at in training. Is a pointless and irrelevant thought as I roll the body over and tug the knife out and wipe the blade clean on his tunic. The fleeting thought I just killed a man doesn't register properly. The thought is washed away by the pumping excitement rushing around my head. I try to swallow, but my throat's too dry. I know I need to focus, but coherent thoughts are stumbling and bouncing on a mixture of fear and excitement. I take a second to steady my breathing by inhaling deeply when I reclaim my rifle. And Tintin only allows me a second. The moment I'm back in line, he gives a signal to proceed forward. I feel both thankful and disappointed we failed to encounter more centuries. We are flickering shadows as we form an arc around the front of the sandstone adobe-like building where the hostages are held. At least the intelligence sources had told us they were held here, and due to the information we used satellite images to study these buildings and the surrounding land. But all the images have been taken from perspective from above, and it all looked very different on ground level at night. The building is slightly apart from the other group of buildings, which is HQ to this particularly nasty Islamist faction. Lights are on inside our target building. I'm on the left flank. My arc of cover is the side of the building and the bit I can see of the rear. I peer into the darkness. The bright moonlight suddenly dims as a cloud passes over the moon's smiling face. We waste no time. Tim-Tim flags more hand signals and the crash team go in, one through each window and two through the door, leaving me and Barker, who is on the right flank, to cover the exterior and the guy's butts when they exit. We all know our jobs. Lieutenant Sanderson and Brewster briefed us in the helicopter on the way to the drop zone. Muzzles flash as rifles and pistols bark and spit. I watch the action in my mind, recalling the many times that day we rehearsed the attack using an old ruin where my lungs had been cooked in the oven-like heat. During the rehearsals, I've been through the door twice and through a window once. But en route to the drop zone, Tintin had told me to take the left flank, and that meant I was rear guard. Probably because I'm the newest and most junior face in the squad and still settling in. This is my first active duty with this elite unit, and I'd only ever imagine myself in the thick of the action. But someone has to cover the guys when they go in, as well as offer tail cover when they retreat back to the RV point. My heart continues to pound on my ears, and the surge of adrenaline I'd experienced while I plunged a knife in the guard's chest still hazes rational thought. But now and again coherent services with an almost lazy nonchalance. Why the need to remind myself RV means rendezvous is one casual question that just appears in my mind. It is strange and totally irrelevant. Focus, I tell myself firmly, trying to stamp on the hazy excitement and fear. I crave clarity. This is the real thing. Right here, right now, there are no second chances. The guys have gone in, crash out equally as quickly, and I can just see in the tungsten light flooding out from the broken front door that they have the hostages. Brilliant. The hostages are still bound and gagged, with my colleagues' hands hauling on handfuls of shirt as the rescue men are partly dragged and partly kept upright, their legs bicycling as they desperately try to stay on their feet. Once in cover, the ties on their wrists are quickly cut and their gags removed. Whispers as the rescued men are reassured. I don't listen. My eyes are focused on the arc of cover, which includes an approach from the fraction's main HQ building. I know to be about 55 yards behind the building where the captives had been held. Torches flicker through some trees beyond the targeted sandstone dwelling. And voices babble urgently. Men are responding to the gunfire and running to the aid of their terrorist colleagues. Thomas and Barker, follow on 10, Lieutenant Sergeantson barks. Sir, we reply in unison, already focused on the task and aiming at torchlight. Angry voices shouting what sounds to me like Arabic. A shot is fired. I see the muzzle flash and hear the bullets sting the air to my right. I exhale slowly and aim and squeeze the trigger, my rifle sight fixed at the point of the muzzle flash. Someone screams and falls to the ground. I fire two more rounds, rolling to the side to alter my position after each shot and hear Barker squeeze off a couple. Den, Barker hisses. Let's get the fuck out of here. Roger that, I hiss back. We both beat a fast retreat to rejoin our unit, spasmodically return and fired into the darkness to slow down any pursuit. When we reach the RV, my eyes are wide and wild. My mouth is bone dry and my breathing laboured. I notice Sergeant Rob Reynolds smiling at me. "You did great, James, especially seeing it your first time," he says. Jess breathes steadily, in through the nose and out through the mouth. He laughs and slaps my back. "And mate, don't forget to blink once in a while."